Radiotopia.
You didn't hear this from me, but Normal Gossip is back for a sixth season. Join host Kelsey McKinney as she shares the juiciest gossip from the real world. Each episode, she's joined by a special guest, and you might recognize a couple this season from the Radiotopia universe. Normal Gossip, named one of the best podcasts of the year by Time Magazine and Vulture, is out now on all your favorite podcast platforms. New episodes starting April 17th.
February 14th, 1998.
Sixth grade.
Dear diary.
Dear Jesus.
Dear sweet asswad.
Adults sharing the embarrassing things
they created as kids.
So I wrote poems about masturbation.
Before an audience
of total strangers.
I feel like an idiot.
I'm the only normal one in my entire family.
Mom, you can't read this.
These are the stories hidden inside
the pages of our past.
July 15th. Things to do. Number one, write a letter to Nicole breaking things off. Two, call Aaron and break up. Three, buy a rose for Kelly.
That's Eric Toms, a guy who readily admits he didn't always have the best priorities as a teenager, especially when it came to someone else's feelings. And you know what? He's not alone. A lot of teenagers, even otherwise nice kids, can act like total jerks when it comes to dating. The result? A lot of angry breakup letters, like this one, which Tara Beebe wrote in high school.
Dear Peter, why? I like you so much, and I feel like you are taking my heart and shish kebabbing it for dinner. You don't know what you want. Why the hell not? You haven't had time. What the hell is up with you? As bad a song as it is, it's true. I don't want to wait for our lives to be over. I want to know right now, what will it be?
From PRX and Radiotopia, this is the Mortified Podcast. I'm Dave. And today, in honor of this podcast's one-year anniversary, woo! We invite you to be our Valentine as we present a special Mortified mixtape episode that asks, why do I date assholes? Which is not me asking that, like, about me. It's more just, it's just sort of, it's a theme. You get it. Just, it's a general. Anyway. Two stories about teenagers that fall for heartbreakers. It's our holiday treat for everyone who's ever been bitter, burned, or wondered, how the hell did I put up with that? One, a story about a teenager who, after being ghosted, decided to exact revenge in perhaps the lamest way possible. And the other, our first story, about a Southern belle who grew up in the 1960s and fell head over heels for a handsome devil in cowboy boots. Side A, deep in the heartbreak of Texas. Lucinda Blackwood takes us back to a simpler time, a time of sock hops, soda jerks, and getting married right after high school.
In my small town, dragging Main Street between the Piggly Wiggly and the Wildcat Drive-In offered all the promise of romance a teenager could hope for. On the Texas-New Mexico border, surrounded by oil wells, cattle ranches, and mesquite trees, it was easy for a young girl to fall prey to the allure of a bad boy in tight jeans and dirty boots. When I was 15, little did I know that, just like the words of a country song, I was about to be stepped on, lied to, cheated on, and treated like dirt. June the 13th. Oh, gosh. I told Dale I loved him for the first time tonight. I think I do, and he says he loves me. A little bit. He says he's confused because of a girl that lives in the upper part of the state. I love him so much, I wish he loved me half as much as I love him. Then that would be a hell of a lot. Thursday, Dale. Friday, Dale. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Dale. Dale, Dale, Dale. September the 6th. Dale picked me up for school. Oh, 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 it was cool. I was waiting, and the first thing he wanted to do was kiss me. I didn't let him all morning. Damn, I love that guy so much. September the 7th. Dale hasn't called, and I'm plenty mad. Oh, he's had it. Oh. Why do I love him? Well, I don't really know. I've had it with Dale through. September the 8th, I'm still through with Dale forever. September the 9th, I'm just as through as yesterday. September the 10th, Dale finally called. We went riding around, had a blast. We drug mine for 2 hours. September the 11th. Mother is so damn mad at me, she's about to have triplets, and I sure don't know why. I think she's found out about Dale and me going to the Wildcat at noon. In fact, I know that's what it is, because there's not another shitting thing it could be. She took out my phone again, and so, hell, I know it's pretty bad. That old fossil. I could kill her. Or better, make her wish she was dead. Dale called. Fossil answered. We talked a little while, then that old bag made me get off the phone. She'll remember that. Thursday at the mountain with Paula. My bathing suit top fell off in the river. Embarrassing. I got 2 letters from Susan. She said Dale is drinking. And he stole some batteries and a motor and got put in jail. I love him and I can't stand being away. I'm going home tomorrow. Sunday, Dale called me tonight. He told me all about jail. It was awful. I love him so much. He asked me if I'd marry him, and he's not kidding. He said, we'll have a beautiful wedding and a beautiful marriage and a little girl that looks just like you. Dale says we'll get married either after school's out or after I graduate. November the 21st. We broke up this morning. I went out to the car and he talked and I sat. He said he wasn't true and it wasn't fair for me. He said he still loved me, but he hadn't been true to me. Wasn't fair to have me tied down and him not. He said he wouldn't be true, especially this next week, and I don't know what that means. I wish it could have worked. I was so happy. So, a couple of days after we broke up, I found out that he started dating his ex-girlfriend, Janet, again. Thursday, today at noon, Dale and Janet parked right in front of us. Boy, I about blew my shitting stack. Oh, he makes me sick. Janet had that ignorant scarf tied around her pin head and stuffing that food in her pig face with both her hooves. I looked over there and Dale was looking at us. And I raised my eyebrows like, boy, you're really tying one on, aren't you? And I went home for the rest of the day afternoon because I was sick. Paula called. Said Dale told her that him and Janet were getting married. I love Dale so much. God only knows how much. And knowing that breaks my heart all over again. Well, I've got to get somebody else whether I like it or not. And that's all she wrote, Dear John. So a couple of months later, Dale and Janet did get married. She was 6 months pregnant and she wore white.
That was Lucinda Blackwood in Los Angeles at King King. And now side B of our special Mortified mixtape that asks, why do I date assholes? Why does that feel so personal when I ask it? Whereas our first reader spent months hoping her bad boy would change his ways, our second reader thought she'd found Prince Charming.
This person was my first love. It was a couple of months over the summer. It just felt really beautiful and special.
That's Amy Quick. And on her 16th birthday, everything changed in an instant.
He and I and some friends were at the Dairy Queen, and there's this screech of tires in the parking lot, and we look outside, and there's this girl jumped out of the car. And before I know it, he has jumped up from our table and with this like look of horror on his face and ran outside without saying anything to any of us.
And just like that, the relationship was over. Not only that, but he completely disappeared from her life forever.
I was just angry, just period. We can't just pretend that what we had was nothing and now never see me again or ever talk to me. It just felt so, it felt way, way too abrupt.
But Amy wasn't about to take this lying down. Oh no. She decided to get revenge by making him rue the day that he ever left her. Here's Amy on the mortified stage demonstrating that the pen is mightier than the sword, joined by actors Mark Evan Jackson, Annie Savage, and Renee Albert.
Our breakup was sudden and devastatingly tragic for a high school drama club geek such as myself. So In the end, I did what any tormented theater geek would do. I wrote a one-act play. And tonight, for the first time ever, I present to you The Sun Still Shines. Setting. Present day. Anna's home. Anna is seated on sofa, sewing or other activity.
Mrs. Roberts, there's a man from your insurance company here to see you. A Mr. Anderson.
Thank you, Celia.
Celia exits.
Mr. Anderson? Mr. Anderson?
He has been staring at her, snaps out of it quickly.
Yes. How are you today, ma'am?
Oh, just fine, but maybe you should come back in a week or so and talk to my husband. He takes care of our insurance matters. Right now, he's away camping with the kids.
Your husband? I didn't know you were married, Mrs. Roberts. Your last name is your maiden name, isn't it?
Yes, I chose to keep it. If you're from our insurance company, how could you possibly not know I have a family? Mr. Anderson?
He has passed in front of her and has come to the realization that she is blind.
You're blind?
Who are you? Celia!
No, don't. It's all right. I'm sorry. I'm not from your insurance company. Don't you recognize my voice, Anna? It's Hal.
What did you say?
No, I'm not him. I'm his brother, Brian. You and Hal used to take me to the park.
You sound so much like him. I tried so hard to forget.
Hal is clearly having difficulty.
How did you find me, Brian? Why did you come?
Hal has just died, Anna. He wanted to see you. He actually wanted you back. After all this time, to finally be with you, he had his midlife crisis, I guess, and it opened his eyes to what he really wanted. He didn't know you were married. And kids.
How could he think I would wait for him? Of all the selfish... He told me he wanted a new life. He left. He just left.
Yes. He left you and the town and his family. He joined the army, got married, started a career. Then one day it all seemed to come to a screeching halt. You were too young to deserve such heartbreak.
That's what I said to him. He told you.
How did you lose your sight, Anna?
Car accident 3 years ago.
Looks down.
Sometimes I'm still not used to it.
Hal crouches down beside her.
Your eyes.
Anna pulls back, startled by his emotions.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to startle you, but you'll never see. You still look perfect after all these years.
It hasn't been that long, Brian.
But sometimes it feels like forever.
It's funny. People like Hal have a way of thinking they can leave for a while, and what they leave behind will always be there to go back to.
People like Hal never realize a good thing when they have it.
He had gone so far and left me and his little world so far behind.
But it was you who went on and accomplished so much. You started a business. I heard. And a family. Is he good to you, Anna?
No one ever made me feel so happy. No, that's a lie. I remember his face, frozen in my mind. 21 years old for eternity. I always wished I could see him just once more. I'm never going to see him again.
No, Anna. No, you'll never see him.
Makes her way to the window, presses her hands against the glass.
I can feel the sun on my face. I remember a day one summer when we took you to the park.
In August.
You went down to swim in the lake, and Hal and I sat on the swings.
Next to the pine trees.
And he said, Anna, you make me the happiest boy in the gnome sky. I can't believe he told you that. Isn't it a strange thing to say?
Hal shakes his head no, starts to put his hands on her shoulders, pulls away.
Thank God the sun still shines. Even if I can't see it anymore.
She turns.
How did Hal die?
Was his heart.
And he talked to you about me before he died?
Yes. I have a letter from him, from Hal.
He quickly grabs a blank sheet of paper from her desk.
He wrote it before it happened, and he asked me to give it to you.
Please read it to me.
Dear Anna, it says, first I want to tell you how sorry I am. I made the biggest mistake of my life by leaving you.
Anna listens intently, perhaps crying silently.
I don't know why it took me almost 25 years to come crawling back to you. You were the best thing that ever came into my life, which is why I divorced my wife and left my job. And my home for you.
Anna turns, disbelief on her face.
I dream of you at night, Anna, and wake with a fast heartbeat. So I'm asking you to forgive me and keep remembering me as the 21-year-old boy you loved. And live happily, knowing that my life ended in ecstasy with thoughts of you. Love, Hal.
He crouches beside her as they cry, takes her left hand.
Did Hal know he was going to die?
No. But he does now.
I don't understand.
Yeah. Goodbye, Anna. Oh. You still make me the happiest boy in the known sky.
The feeling that it was a good play after I wrote it lasted for a couple of days, maybe, before I showed it to my best friend. And she basically told me that it wasn't any good. I think that it gave me some closure. Celia enters.
He stayed quite a while, didn't he?
Celia, would you please read this letter to me?
Of course.
Takes paper, holds it up to read.
But there's nothing written on it.
It's blank.
I know.
Lights out.
That was Amy Quick, and before her, Lucinda Blackwood, Eric Toms, and Tara Beebe reading aloud their childhood writings with no embellishing, no exaggerating, just God-given awkwardness. And this concludes our Mortified mixtape asking, Why Do I Date Assholes? Where we learned that if you mess with a teenage girl's heart, she will never, ever, ever forget. No matter how hard you try to change your ways. Isn't that right, Eric?
October 4th. I discovered how I can clear my reputation. You get together with a girl for 1 month, then break up and go crying to your friend, literally. Tell him your sob story and then take a slower pace with girls, but you can't tell anyone. October 6th. Please disregard the previous page. I reread it and it sounds demeaning.
To share the shame, follow us on Facebook or Twitter, or visit GetMortified.com to learn about Mortified stage shows, books, films, and beyond. Click participate, and who knows, maybe you'll appear in a future episode of this series. The Mortified Podcast is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX, which is made possible with support from the Knight Foundation, and also from MailChimp, who celebrate creativity, chaos, and teamwork. If your organization is interested in supporting this podcast, please email sponsor@radiotopia.fm. And speaking of Radiotopia.fm, that's a great place to hear original audio series that are guaranteed to make your headphones happy. Among our favorites, The Heart. Each episode of this podcast tackles love, lust, romance, and all the misery in between. Check out an episode about a seriously complicated relationship called Idiot Plus Dummy. Listen to The Heart at theheartradio.org. Our podcast production team for this episode includes Kathy Tu, Pierce Purcelli, Neil Ketcher, and myself, Dave Nadelberg. Ann Jensen Smith story produced this for the stage. Music by Gordon Bash, Alex Burke, Adam Smith, The Angel, Zoe Rose Palladino, and Snakes, Snakes, Snakes. Additional thanks to Mark Evan Jackson, Annie Savage, Renee Albert, Lance Roberts Studios, Will Dwyer, Eric Bass, King King, and all the dedicated Mortified Live producers whose work make the stage show possible. Until next time, we remind you that we are freaks, and we are fragile, and we all survive, even the assholes.